by Dr. Ali Harris, Josh Terrell, CEO of the Business Council, Scott Hoversland, Executive Director of the Wyoming Community Development Authority. And before I begin, I just want to say a quick word of thanks. You'll notice I'm wearing a mask today. It's important. We'll talk about that a little bit, but it's important that we get people who can feel comfortable going back to our businesses. We've been open now for a while, and it'd be great if people start feeling comfortable going back to those businesses. It's been exciting to see Yellowstone Park open. It's open in Wyoming only. We've got visitors and tourists back in Wyoming, and it's Memorial Day coming up. I'm excited about that, it's almost summertime and good things are happening. Today I want to speak about COVID-19 and the two-day special session that was just concluded. And I also asked Josh and Scott to talk about some of the programs we plan to create out of this legislative session with this legislature, and I'm really excited about the bills that they have passed. We've had, I think, sadly, an increase in the number of COVID-19 cases since last week when we announced further easing of public health orders. We now have 596 lab-confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in the state, with an additional 191 probable cases. There were 13 new lab-confirmed cases reported today, and sadly, and I think this is a reminder, there was an additional death in Fremont County. This is an increase of 73 new confirmed cases over the last week. The number of hospitalizations as reported by our hospitals is just 9 today. Wyoming's positive case rate, and that is the percentage of tests that come back positive for COVID-19, and this is exciting, has decreased slightly over the last week from 3.9% to 3.7%, and this continues to be significantly below the national average of 13%, according to the most recent data from the CDC. So, Wyoming, you're doing well. Our statewide COVID-19 dashboard remains unchanged today, showing that Wyoming remains stable in 5 to 6 metrics. The category of new cases continues to be rated concerning for the reasons that I just mentioned. I guess I'd like to speak to some of the concerns expressed yesterday by Dr. Dowell in Natrona County, health officer. Where there have been 13 new confirmed cases in the past week. Friends that I have up there were disappointed that those new cases arrived, but I guess somewhat prepared, and that's one reason why I'm wearing this, because, again, it's important that we try to keep this pandemic at bay. It's important for all of us to make a concerted effort at the guidelines. We're trying to make them as adaptive and loose as we possibly can and thoughtfully. We are particularly, I want to emphasize the continued importance of maintaining 6 feet of distance using these face coverings. And I just mentioned this, it's summer, it's Memorial Day. If we become complacent, we could well see more people getting sick, and we would hate that. We don't want to lose that ground we've gained. We've asked people to wear face coverings, particularly when you're going to come into close contact with others and can't maintain that 6-foot distance. But most importantly, if we can prevent people who may not know that they are sick from spreading this virus, that's going to be a good thing. Wearing one is a sign of respect. It's also a way to make sure that those people who aren't sure if they're going to venture out of their home and come back into the restaurants, come back into the other places, can feel more safe coming back. We want our neighbors all to feel comfortable when they come out and reemerge into this economy that's starting to awaken again. Our orders do require face coverings for restaurant staff, fitness center staff, and barbers and hair and nail salons. I have to say, as a restaurant, it's a great thing to have. These gives a little bit of confidence to your customers. This requirement is not intended to be a burden, and it is a standard that has been implemented around the country to help prevent someone who is sick and doesn't know if they're spreading it to others and other customers in a store, for example. At this time, I would like to have Dr. Harris speak about some of the testing strategies we will be implementing in long-term care facilities. I don't know, Dr. Harris, not in our prepared comments, but maybe a little bit of the comments on the steps we're taking to make sure that as visitors come to Park, Teton, and Fremont County on their way to Yellowstone Park, that we have adequately helped to buttress those counties as well. Thanks, Dr. Harris.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Just to say a little bit more on face masks in regard to our vulnerable people here in Wyoming. As with many difficult situations, our most vulnerable populations are likely impacted the most during this pandemic. Wearing a face covering right now is one important measure that we can take to help protect Wyoming residents who may be more vulnerable than ourselves. Older adults, people with underlying medical conditions such as asthma, heart conditions, and those who have undergone treatment for cancer, those who are diabetic, and those with chronic kidney or liver disease are at higher risk of severe illness with COVID-19. We can't always tell by looking or know who among the people we are in contact with might be at greater risk. We also can't know for sure if we are spreading the virus because that can start before we feel symptoms. Face coverings aren't complicated and they aren't medical masks. They can be any cloth item that covers your nose and mouth while still allowing you to breathe. Wearing face coverings in certain settings is a simple step we can all take to protect others. One group at risk we are especially concerned about is the residents of Wyoming's long-term care facilities such as nursing homes and assisted living facilities. That's why we are starting a proactive testing program focused on Wyoming's long-term care facilities. This effort involves two primary approaches. First, we are asking facilities without a current outbreak to collect samples of at least 20% of residents and staff every 2 weeks. Samples can be tested either through commercial laboratories or through the Wyoming Public Health Laboratory. We will work with facilities to help set up a plan that works best for them. This effort will help us to be sure we are not missing potential outbreaks among our citizens who are most vulnerable during this pandemic. The earlier we identify a potential trouble spot, the more we can take action to limit spread. Second, facilities with staff or residents shown to be infected with COVID-19 will be asked to test all staff and residents and keep doing so weekly until we can be sure the potential of an ongoing outbreak has been eliminated. This strategy can offer us a powerful tool to intervene as early as possible in outbreaks in both nursing homes and assisted living facilities. We have seen when a small or single number of symptomatic cases are identified, there may be many additional asymptomatic or mild cases in residents and staff. There is substantial evidence that asymptomatic persons and persons with mild illness contribute to transmission in these facilities. More testing in these settings helps us limit and control the outbreak with actions such as grouping staff and residents and limiting interaction between those groups and using isolation and quarantine strategies. We are thankful for the financial support and increased testing capacity that helps us take these steps. To address what's happening in terms of the visitors as well as the staff in Teton and Yellowstone National Parks as well as the surrounding counties, we are working with both the National Park Service as well as with the federal government to ensure that we have adequate supplies to do both testing of symptomatic persons that present to care in those counties or within the clinic, as well to do some surveillance to, again, ensure that we are detecting any cases early so that we can take steps to prevent outbreaks. And finally, I just want to ask everyone to make smart decisions and follow the basic advice and recommendations we've been sharing all along, such as staying home when you're sick. Let's all do our part to keep Wyoming on the right path and stay focused on the goals of slowing and limiting the spread of disease in our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Harris. Thank you for your work during all this time. It's been an honor to work with you. I have to say how proud I am when we have our White House briefings that I can report that Wyoming has really shown some leadership nationwide. And it was nice to be called on by the president yesterday, recognized for that. So thank you for that as well. Just before I get into the next statements, just want to make sure that people understand this is important. It's our opportunity to be sensitive to those around us. It's our opportunity to show responsibility, care, and respect. Acting otherwise is about as insensitive as the hashtag that initially called out COVID-19, which was hashtag Boomer Remover, in reference to the fact that most people over the age of 60 or in the boomer generation are the most vulnerable to this. So we're not interested in having anybody get sick. We are very, very interested in making sure Wyoming continues its trajectory forward and does the exceptional job that we have been doing. So let me stop there for a moment and talk a little bit about the special session. Earlier today, I signed all three bills. I have not signed them yet. I'm about to sign the bills passed by the legislature during the special session held Friday and Saturday. I want to say that I was very proud of our legislature for dealing with very difficult issues, very difficult bills, and a very challenging kind of environment under enormous amounts of scrutiny and stress. They actually did their work very well. I'm very happy with the bills that we've gotten. Both bodies were efficient and transparent and got work that was necessary to get done. Working together, as I've mentioned right from the start, this is an unprecedented time, an exceptional set of circumstances, and we have to make sure that we work together, and we are. We are building Wyoming back, and while we know there is more work to be done, Wyoming and America's unsinkable economy is coming out of hibernation. If you happened to catch some of the news stories yesterday, it was exciting to see as many people as were headed into Yellowstone from all around the country. Three bills were passed during the session, and I want to speak about them each briefly. The first bill, Senate File 1001, gives the governor authorization to spend $1.25 billion that our state receives in CARES Act funding. Now, I'm a conservative, and I understand the reason why these funds have come our way. I don't take a great deal of joy in spending these, but it is important that we get our economy up and going, and I want to congratulate Congress for doing what they did with the CARES Act. What these bills do in this first one, it allows me to spend $450 million immediately, and then at a second tranche starting in July 15th, it has another $400 million that is available, and the last $400 million comes on September 15th. I will do so. I will employ these acts and do as the legislature asks in a manner that complies with the guidance set out by the federal government. This bill provides flexibility for us to respond to the needs of our state's citizens. And already I've been calling around, actually, for the last couple of weeks to get the particulars of what particular citizens want or what particular citizens need. And I've reported those from time to time. We will be using the funding to provide assistance in several broad categories. Emergency response, which includes direct expenses related to COVID-19, such as personal protection equipment and expanding our testing and contact tracing capabilities. Particularly interested in making sure that our counties, Teton and Fremont and Park, were ready to go. They're sort of under the gun right now with everybody coming their direction. It'll make available relief aid, including the establishment of programs that support businesses and the public. economic development projects that may include healthcare infrastructure projects and support for cities, towns, counties, and tribal communities. Senate File 1004 stands up three relief programs that will provide assistance to our state's businesses, and these are the Business Interruption Stipend Program, the Coronavirus Business Relief Stipend Program, and the Coronavirus Mitigation Stipend Program. The Business Council will administer each of these programs, and to speak further about these, somebody who has just come on but has spent a lot of time in webinars discussing the particulars of these bills and many of the programs that we have, Josh Durrell of the Business Council. Josh, would you please come?
Yeah, thank you, Governor. You know, Wyoming businesses have been dramatically impacted by the COVID-19 economic disruption. And what we really mean when we say businesses is people. Business owners, employees, family, friends, and neighbors. Recent graduates wondering if a job offer is coming any time in the foreseeable future. People who have settled in Wyoming and contributed to this great state's economy and now hope there are opportunities to stay. While Wyoming has worked hard to remain open throughout the past 9 weeks, the health challenges have indeed taken a toll on our businesses, on our business owners, our employees. Balancing lives and livelihoods is a tough task. In an effort to jumpstart Wyoming's recovery from the COVID pandemic, our citizen legislature and Governor Gordon have developed a program designed to provide rapid assistance to our businesses that need it most. The program will pump $325 million into businesses across the state, providing a lifeline to our main streets and our local economies. The amount of work to get the bill passed wasn't just the 36-hour marathon of the special legislative session that occurred Friday and Saturday of last week. There were many more hours put into this by the governor's office, committee members, experts in various agencies of the government, as well as business people all over the state. The result is a program that rapidly puts money into the hands of Wyoming businesses that have been negatively affected by this pandemic, and cuts down on the typical red tape and hurdles that government agencies are famous for. The Wyoming Business Council is honored to be executing these programs and developing a smooth and simple process for Wyoming small business owners. The bill establishes three programs, each intended to address a specific area of the business world. First is a $50 million program to help businesses with 50 or fewer employees by providing grants of up to $50,000. This program also gives preference to those companies that might have fallen through the cracks of federal programs like PPP. Our goal is to begin taking applications for this program at the beginning of June, but as you'll hear in a moment, there are a few things that need to happen first. The next program is a $225 million program intended to help businesses with up to 100 employees and provide stipends of up to $300,000. The third program provides $50 million intended to help Wyoming business, regardless of size, to cover COVID-19-related expenses up to $500,000 per business. As I mentioned before, it's a great honor to administer a program like this. It's also a great responsibility, and we want to ensure it's done correctly. This means that in the coming days and weeks, we'll be developing these programs from scratch. We'll develop the program guidelines, technology, and processes to make it happen. We'll need to ensure the security of the system and minimize the likelihood of fraud. We'll also do our best to ensure accessibility so that all affected business owners in the state can easily provide the required information. This process will definitely take time to get it right, but we know that we must work as fast as possible to deliver on the vision of helping businesses get access to this grant money with as little red tape as possible. As a business owner, you know that putting quality systems in place takes time, and we're working to ramp up as fast as possible to serve you while ensuring that the systems are secure, easy to use, and prevent fraud. We also realize that we cannot do this alone. There are many partnerships that are incredibly important to this effort. A key partnership is the State Auditor's Office, as we'll work closely with Auditor Racinus's team to ensure quality and process the payments. Other agencies, including the Office of Tourism and Workforce Services, have offered their assistance as well. It is truly a one-team approach to help businesses across the state. We're also working closely with businesses and associations throughout this state to fully understand the interesting nuances and scenarios that have to be covered by these programs. Utilizing the governor's COVID-19 task force for business and finance has been a tremendous help to get the pulse of Wyoming's businesses. This bill was intentionally written to provide broad coverage for many business types, ensuring that businesses and employees would benefit from these funds, and we're not picking winners and losers. The greatest factor of eligibility in these programs is how your business was affected by the crisis, not what industry you work in or what type of business you have. And while we might not be picking winners and losers, we do have a responsibility to ensure that honesty and integrity are preserved. As such, these programs will be analyzed and audited for fraudulent applications. While I'd like to believe that we all live by the principles of cowboy ethics, the fact is some of us do not. And we have mechanisms in place to find those cases and recover the funds. As we've done from the beginning of this crisis, we'll do our best to provide critical information so businesses can apply easily. Prior to the launch of these programs, we'll provide a series of webinars and activate a network of organizations to assist those businesses. Organizations like SBDC, Chambers of Commerce, local economic developers, the local banks and credit unions, the Wyoming Business Council staff, and many other organizations will be available to help in that application process. So over the next few days, business owners should stay tuned for our webinar series to understand the application process and have the opportunity to ask questions. You should also make sure that you have basic information like your employer identification number, W-9, and ensure you're in good standing with the Secretary of State's office. We'll also provide additional sources of support on our website at wyomingbusiness.org. The goal of this bill is to rapidly put money into businesses that have been negatively affected by this pandemic and cutting down red tape. While there are many things that need to happen from this moment until checks can be sent, we understand the challenging times you're facing, and we're working to make it happen as quickly as possible. The Wyoming Business Council is honored to serve you at this time, and I'd like to thank you all for your resilience and your resolve. Thanks, Governor Gordon.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Josh. I'm really excited by the work you've done. And I want to point out that as we do this work, we are constantly working with our legislature as well. It's important that this is a team effort, that we're all working on it to make sure that Wyoming does phenomenally well coming out of this. On the bills that I will be signing, I plan to exercise a line item veto on House Bill 104, specifically with regard to two elements. Now, as Josh mentioned, there are four programs in this. This is the first and hopefully the simplest of the programs. Let me just say that when the legislature did their work, they did it exceptionally well, and they paced the way these monies are meant to go out, $450 initially, then another $400, and finally another $400. And I think that's a wise decision. But it doesn't mean that the programs that are outlined in each of those tranches is exactly the right mix at that particular point in time. So we haven't changed any of the numbers. What I have done is I've allowed for more flexibility to be able to deploy resources because if you looked at the programs that Josh just outlined, $325 million would be out the door for business relief. We have seen a decline in some of the PPP programs that are being run out of the payroll protection plan program that are run out of the auditor's office, and largely that's because we're starting to get down to smaller businesses. So we don't really know what the demand is going to be. We want to retain some flexibility because the legislature also gave us other enormous lifts to consider, things like holidays for workers' compensation, which I think will be exceptionally valuable to every business owner, and we'll make that known as we go ahead. I also want to make sure that in the first of the four programs in the 104 bill, I removed the $20,000 minimum amount that would be awarded to businesses that would be eligible under the Business Interruption Stipend Program. This program is one that I've just told Josh I want to try to get up and running as quickly as possible. I told him this afternoon. He said, well, we've got a press conference this afternoon. But I know we're working on this to make sure this money gets out the door as quickly as possible. These programs did not exist 2 weeks ago when I started saying we need to get this money deployed quickly. Everybody wants to make sure this money gets out the door quickly. And what this program does is it allows for businesses with losses less than $20,000 up to $50,000 to be eligible to receive a stipend and still be in compliance with federal requirements of the CARES Act. We want to ensure that every small business owner would be eligible for assistance as this virus has impacted businesses of all sizes. And when I say this, the adjustment that we made in this program will actually align the award with the amount of loss, which meets the requirements of the CARES Act. We believe this is, and we intend this to be a program that's simple to administer, simple to apply for. I was talking to a friend of mine up in KC today who owns a restaurant up there and saying, really, what can we do that's a minimum requirement that meets these stipulations so we don't end up with a very complicated, long process? So understand this program is absolutely critical. It's going to come along. We want to make sure that it matched the needs that were being reported. Finally, Senate File 102 makes changes to the state's unemployment insurance program and workers' compensation program. Now anyone who contracts COVID-19 is eligible for workers' compensation. We also wanted to protect businesses from having claims tied to COVID-19 from impacting their workers, compensation premiums, and we have achieved that with this bill, and I think the legislature is to be complimented on that. Senate File 102 also creates an eviction prevention program. It will be administered by the Wyoming Community Development Authority. And this time I'm going to ask Scott to come up and speak to it. This has been a particularly important program that we've been considering, largely because, you know, we can't really deal with this particular set of circumstances without dealing with the whole of the economy. And so, Scott, thanks for being here to discuss that.
Thank you, Governor. And again, I'm Scott Hoversland, Executive Director of the Wyoming Community Development Authority. Wyoming Community Development Authority is the state's lead agency in housing finance and rental financing. You may know us most by our first-time homebuyer programs, and we also do a low-income housing tax credit that we work with developers to provide financing for. As the governor said, the special session approved $15 million for a program to provide housing, mortgage payment and rental assistance. The Wyoming Emergency Housing Assistance Program, we are trying to, like Josh said with their programs, get them up and running as fast as possible. What we're not maybe in the same instance starting from the ground up. We have worked with our cohorts in Montana that have a program running right now since the 7th of May, and that we will be able to mimic a lot of it, but again, all states are different in how they operate and their makeup. So we are looking at program parameters and how we can best fit those to the needs of Wyoming. Also, as Josh says, the CARES Act, it's CARES Act funding, and we want to be, as with all of our funding that we get from the federal government, good stewards of the money that we receive. The CARES Act funds we will make available to applicants or recipients that are eligible that will be able to get monthly assistance for emergency rent, mortgage payments, or for deposits, security deposits for rentals, and also to pay hazard insurance payments. And what we are asking as part of that is that we will put a maximum amount of assistance of $2,000 that's available, but there's also a copayment of 30% of the borrower's current gross monthly income. So we're limiting to 30% of current gross monthly income for the borrower. So if a borrower has lost their job and only has unemployment, it's only a 30% of what they're making current monthly gross income. Program applicants, we'll be taking them. As I said, we want to get this up and running as soon as possible. And we'll have an application site on our Wyoming CDA website. So that address is wyomingcda.com. So look there, you know, from today going forward for information on how we are progressing with that program. But we want to be able to start by taking applications by Monday, June 1st. And like I said, all those that are eligible are have suffered a job loss, reduction of compensation, or closure of employment of their place of employment due to the COVID-19 pandemic, or other pertinent circumstances such as loss of income due to obligation to be absent from work to care for your homebound school-aged children, or required to be quarantined because you have a diagnosis of COVID-19. So those that are not eligible, payments due prior to April 1st payment will not be eligible for assistance, and households that receive other forms of federal housing assistance such as housing choice vouchers, project-based Section 8, or rural development or emergency solutions grants that already make their rent payments on a monthly basis. And I want to thank the governor for, I know, over the last several weeks for working with us on this program, and we look forward to getting it up and running for all of those that are in most need.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks very much. Before I close, I want to add a couple more items. You know, as we look at the wide variety of businesses that have been affected by this, the challenges to even ranchers and others, as we've seen this pandemic play out in places other than Wyoming, we're grateful that we have the delegation that we do. We're grateful that that delegation can get us right into the White House when we need to be there, and that we have a president who can speak our language and understands the needs that Wyoming has. And so I want to thank our delegation from top to bottom for their great leadership in this effort. It isn't going to be easy coming back. Another business I spoke to today is related to the mining industry, and they've seen their industry decline. So Josh has got a big challenge ahead to make sure that we go forward by diversifying our economy, by bringing new businesses to Wyoming. And, of course, that means a workforce, and that's where Scott comes in, making sure that our workforce is able to get the homes and mortgages paid, the other things that they need. We are truly fortunate in Wyoming that we are the state that we are, that we care for one another, and that we have a great faith in our ability to move forward. I will say that our COVID-19 task forces will continue to provide input as we allocate CARES Act funding. The Education Task Force will be providing input as we look towards next school year. The challenges for next school year, from the university to community colleges down to K-12 to daycare, are extraordinary, and we have a lot of work to do, but we are working every single day. I just got off a call with many of my colleagues on the National Governors Association, and we were talking about that, about tracking and other issues. I can tell you my colleagues across the nation, we're all dealing with many of the same issues. The State Services Task Force will be working on how to transition our workforce back into state offices at the appropriate time. But I have to say, we're also thinking about what this has meant to us as a workforce, as we've started to telecommute. What are the office needs that we have? These are all things that are going to become very important as we move forward and understand exactly what the challenges of this coming budget are going to be. I do want to note that $2 million of the CARES Act funding has been earmarked for the Wyoming Office of Homeland Security to support businesses through the purchase and distribution of personal protective equipment. You know, I spoke a lot about Fremont and Teton and Park County. I want to make sure other counties know they're part of this as well. The visitors that are going to be coming are going to be coming through Wyoming, and we want to make sure that any additional requirements you have with PPEs and other things, sanitizers, as my friend in KC was talking about, being hard to come by, we're going to try to stand by you to help you with those efforts. This effort is to help businesses by equipping them with public safety tools and resources needed as we work towards strengthening Wyoming's economy and resilience. I know that it is difficult to try to run a business at 50% capacity. We're trying to stand by you to make sure that we do this in the right way and that we don't have an embarrassing moment. Now, that is absolutely essential. Right now, it's wonderful to be from Wyoming because we are doing well. We have received requests from more than 400 businesses, but I want to let you know that businesses can still submit requests on the Homeland Security website. That is hls.wyo.gov. But finally, I want to thank the people of Wyoming for continuing to do the right thing, for your patience. I know we've been a little prickly over the last little bit. Everybody has. It's spring. We want to get outside. We want to take care. But people did do the right thing and worked hard, and we are where we are today, and proudly so, because of what you were able to do, exercising restraint, exercising responsibility, and understanding that delicate balance between right and responsibility. The threat of COVID-19 has not gone, and with common sense precautions, we will continue to make progress. We're way ahead of our peers. I'm excited about that. Our journey back won't always be simple and easy, but here in Wyoming, we are not scared of work. We know the value of work. We know the value of community. We know the value of responsibility, of family, and of common sense, and most especially, faith. Right from the beginning, I have to say that I have periodically sat down with faith leaders from across this great state, and we've talked about the circumstances and the challenges. And I want to say, again, Dr. Harris, thank you for your understanding and leadership in making sure that this enormous need that our people have is well respected. I have faith that our state will continue, that our economy will improve, that through the efforts of our people, we will continue to strengthen, and that our great country will once again be able to do everything that we've wanted to do. So thank you very much. There is one question that was pre-submitted from Tom Hallberg of the Jackson Hole News and Guide. Tom asks, Jackson Town officials are considering a mask requirement for public spaces and businesses. Will a state health officer support county-level mask requirements if county health officials ask for them? If not, why? What factors would Dr. Harris look at making such a decision?
Dr. Harris.
Thank you, Governor. Yes, certainly I would consider any countywide differences in the orders compared to the statewide orders, and would for Teton County. Certainly I think that face masks, as I've said many times and as the governor has said, are very important to us being able to limit and slow transmission as we begin to restrict some of the orders that have been in place. Just like with any of the orders, I would consider the outbreak metrics in Teton County as well as specific factors that Teton County might have to consider going forward throughout the summer in dealing with the pandemic. So, yes, I would consider it, and would be happy to discuss that with Dr. Riddell.
Thanks. There are any questions?
Governor, this is Mark Bentley with 307 Net Radio in Buffalo.
Hi, Mark.
The period of time that the current orders are in effect is coming to a close in a week or so. What are you anticipating for lightening things or lessening things up at this stage?
So I'll let Dr. Harris do that. Before she as she's coming up here, let me say that we are looking at a host of requests, Mark, that have been coming our way, and we're trying to deal with them. And it's a really interesting time. But Dr. Harris, here you go.
Thank you. And I think they're not only are they coming up fast, but it's also important to remember that these new orders just went into place on Friday. So it's really only been a few days, and it does take time, and we need to look at, what happens with the outbreak metrics before we, decide exactly what we're going to do with this next set of orders. As always, if the outbreak metrics say that we can, we look for ways to enable more types of activities, but in a safe way, and we'll continue to do that with the next set of orders.
Is there anything particular, Dr. Harris, that you anticipate?
I don't think I'm ready to say that at this time. Again, we really need to see what the data does with the changes that we just made on Friday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Next question.
This is Steve Hoover at Associated Press in Cheyenne with a question for Dr. Harris.
Okay, thanks, Mead.
Doctor, could you please comment a little bit more about the recent surge in cases in Natrona County? It looks like 15 now. And have you been able to determine sort of a common nexus of those cases, or is this sort of undetermined community spread? And if it is what are the implications as far as perhaps tightening back down on restrictions in Natrona County or maybe elsewhere?
Sure. Thank you for that question. I mean, certainly I know the County Health Department has been working very hard on these cases, and they would be the ones to speak about the specific details. They did report that four of the cases were staff members at Wyoming Medical Center and have identified other cases through intensive contact investigations. That investigation is still ongoing, and we do anticipate assisting Natrona County by going up there, sending a couple staff members up there tomorrow. We're not expecting that we're going to be able to, we are going to keep identifying more COVID cases in Wyoming. We know that that is going to happen, and it's likely going to continue to happen over the next weeks and months. What our goal here is really to do a couple of things, and that is to protect our most vulnerable populations, those in nursing homes, other communal living settings where people may be more at risk for severe illness, and to ensure that our hospitals have the capacity and capability to care for all of the patients who might need care, as well as all the equipment required to protect the healthcare providers who are caring for them. And so, as in the metrics dashboard that we show, it is really the whole picture we're looking at when we think about our public health measures, whether more or less restrictive. We really do want to keep moving forward. And our goal is to identify the cases that are there so that we can implement public health measures. As we continue to identify more cases, implement isolation and quarantine, contact tracing, all of those things that we've been doing all along, again, those two of those big factors are making sure our vulnerable populations are protected and making sure our hospitals are not overwhelmed.
Number of cases in Natrona County that you would be looking at before you would clamp back down on restrictions? What's the specific number up there that you would be looking at?
Yeah, so there isn't a specific number. I would say it really is the whole picture. In some cases, when you're identifying more cases, it's because you're aggressively contact tracing it and trying to find them. It's more of really the impacts of those cases. Does the hospital have sufficient capacity, PPE, testing, to be able to deal with those patients? Are we able to keep the virus out of specific types of facilities that pose a great risk for severe illness and death? So it really is the whole picture, those six metrics that we always show, not just a single number of cases.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mead. Next question.
Governor Gordon, it's Jim O'Reilly.
Oh, I had a question about
Jim, hold on for just a sec. Who is the first? Can you repeat the question? There was a...
Sure.
Yep.
It's Barbara Ann from Bighorn County Newspapers.
Hi, Barbara Ann.
Hello, sir. My question is about unemployment benefits. There are a lot of people that did not lose their job but did have their hours cut significantly, and they are finding out that they do not qualify to get unemployment because their hours were not cut enough, but they are still struggling. Is there any talk about revamping that a little bit so that the people that did lose hours will be able to make that up with their unemployment benefits?
Yeah, thank you, Barbara Ann. Yes, actually, one of the provisions of this bill was the so-called work share provision. It's something that Director Cooley and I have been working with Chairman Greer from up in your neck of the woods on, and it came to fruition in these bills. It'll allow for, the CARES Act does provide some ability for that funding on a work share program now, but really important for Wyoming for those exact circumstances. You know, I want to keep somebody working, but I can't afford to pay them for the full 40 hours. I'm going to reduce them to 30 hours, and that's a crimp on everybody. So this work share program does address that particular circumstance, and that should be deployed here very quickly. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Jim.
Yes, Governor, thanks again for the opportunity. A question about the special session over the weekend. Could you comment on the nature of the debate over the immunity clause that was included in Senate File House Bill 1002 and comment about the ultimate compromise that was reached and passed in the House on the immunity clause for businesses?
Sure, Jim. Thank you. Let me just state at the outset that I really hate it when legislation shows up. It's not really well vetted. It just sort of shows up out of the blue the night before the session. In this particular case, it was a bill that was intended to extend immunity to employers for COVID-19 related types of circumstances, and the net effect of that would be that anybody who got sick with COVID-19 wouldn't have the normal recourse that you would have to legally go test whether the employer now whether that is a good thing or not, I don't want to wade into. I think COVID-19 presents some unique circumstances that are somewhat challenging. But that debate was a very long debate. It was a debate that, had lots of different positions. It is something that judiciary is looking at. I'm really excited that they will have a chance to look a little bit more in detail at it over time. But it ultimately came down to a real impasse. Luckily, this is what's good about the legislature. They worked out a compromise that extended it, the liability in a way that really just extended the health orders that are so important for this state, for a health officer to issue the kinds of orders we've been talking about here. So for businesses that are adhering to those requirements, it extended the liability. And, that's sort of a best guess kind of thing. But, you know, normally you like to see something like that that's pretty controversial, pretty substantive, really see the light of day, be well discussed in a session. And but these particular sessions, it's really difficult just because, you know, you're on a Zoom environment. You don't necessarily know who's able to witness it, you know, whether the public knew what was going on, that sort of thing. So I'm glad that Judiciary Committee is taking it up, Joint Judiciary. I know it'll get a good sound hearing. There's obviously value for the businesses. I think about Dude Ranches and others. The fact this is such an insidious and invisible kind of thing that you could be, you could be doing everything you thought we were doing right, and yet somehow maybe you got sick, and so how do we make sure there's an appropriate liability to that? I think it was a very long discussion. I don't know if you witnessed it, Jim, but ultimately I think the legislature came up with a good solution, and so I'm happy with it.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Next
Governor,
question.
Governor, this is Andrew with Wildfile.
I have a
legislative-related question as well. There was a lot of talk there about budget cuts, pretty steep ones right around the corner, and apparently even a number of 30% of general fund budgets as a potential amount of reduction that would need to happen. So I'm wondering, do you and the executive branch have a plan to begin reducing budgets, and how and when does that begin?
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for that question. Obviously not a happy topic, but one that, we're going to face straight on. That's the way we do things in Wyoming. What I would say is a consensus revenue estimating group has had a couple of preliminary conversations. We're starting to get those data back indicating exactly the kind of hit that we've seen. They're working out some scenarios. And I really can't speak to exactly what the percent. I can say it's going to be profound. It's going to be a big deal. As I mentioned a little while back, I've asked all of my agency heads to come up with contingency plans, 20-30% reductions. And I think we need to spell that out over the next month or month and a half or so. I've worked a lot with the legislature just because, again, we're all in this together. It's important that we understand what this means. I think a lot of people don't, I think of a town like Thermopolis, for example, where some of the largest employers in Thermopolis are the hospital, the school system, and some of the park facilities that are there. And so as we look at reducing these budgets, we need to make sure that our towns and counties understand sales taxes are going to disappear, other aspects of their economy are going to be compromised. This isn't the sort of thing you can just go in and lop off an arm or a leg and say that's good. It is really systemic, and it's going to take a deliberate and concerted, thoughtful effort at how we reduce the size of government. Absolutely. So thank you very much for that question.
I presume that this happens before the legislature, the JAC, does their traditional budget hearings in the fall and for a supplementary budget bill. This is something that will have to take place over the summer, or?
Andrew, I'm looking at it in basically three phases: near term, midterm, and then longer term. And all of those are essentially, related, obviously, but they are very, very important to understand completely. Short term, there may be some things we absolutely have to do, have done some of those things. Longer term, it's a little bit unclear exactly. Yesterday I was on the phone with an interview, and they were talking about, now that oil has come back to 30, above 30, what's going to happen to our oil industry? Is it going to come storming back? I don't know. I hope so. That's why we're working as hard as we are to make life a little bit easier for the oil companies and for our mineral companies. But I don't look for people to start flying again anytime soon. So there's a midterm kind of pause. And then longer term, we really got to talk about what's the state going to do under a, potentially a whole new series of conditions. And that's really where I've asked my Power Wyoming group that looked at things last year to not dwell on what's happening here in the next month or year, but to say what happens 2 years out, 3 years out, what happens under these circumstances, and how does Wyoming react to it. It's important people in Wyoming are informed, know what the decisions are, and really have a place to be in this. So thanks. Two more questions.
Thanks.
Another question?
Well, Governor, I'll have a question. Jim O'Reilly from Bigfoot Radio for Dr. Harris. I had a question about the two deaths that were reported this week of Wyoming residents who died out of state, but the deaths were remarked against Wyoming. One was an elderly woman from Carbon County with existing conditions. The other, an elderly man from Laramie County. I was wondering, those kinds of deaths are recorded differently than, say, highway fatalities. Do we know more about it? It was unclear in the news release from the Department of Health if those two individuals had become infected out of state and then died out of state, or if they had become infected in Wyoming and then sought care out of state. I was wondering if you could provide some clarification on that data point and why those deaths that occur out of state are marked against the state of residency. Thank you.
Sure. So the basic answer to that is that death reporting for all types of conditions, including infectious diseases, is done by state of residence. You can imagine that there are situations when people travel or live in other parts of the country for parts of the year, but there is a standardized system in the United States so that the death is reported by the state of residence. It is likely in both cases that these two individuals contracted the virus in Colorado and did not have any contacts in the state of Wyoming during their illness, but they certainly considered Wyoming their home. They had permanent addresses in Wyoming, and for that reason, as well as the fact that this is how we count deaths across all types of conditions, they are counted as Wyoming deaths. Certainly, when we look at the numbers and consider the metrics, we will consider the fact that again, the infection was not likely acquired in Wyoming or spread in Wyoming, but we'll continue to count deaths by state the same way we do for everything else.
Well, if there are no further questions, I thank you again. You know, one thing I would say, and I've said this over and over again, I want to thank you, the media, for getting this information out. It's really important. And just a little comment. One of the senators from Sweetwater County about middle of last week asked when we were going to take off the 14-day self-quarantine order. And, of course, we'd done that a week before. And, I just think it's so important, the role that you play. It's nice to have you back in studio, so to speak, and I really just thank you for engaging with the people of Wyoming. Thank you for being there and conveying the message that you do. So with that, I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day. We've just gotten some guard troops back. You think about their deployment. They were extended first, and then they had to be in self-quarantine for a long time. It's really wonderful to have them back here in Wyoming. I thank them for their service, for keeping us safe. I also want to thank our delegation, because when we started all of this stuff, we had people far and wide in Wyoming. We had people in Ghana. We had people in Peru. We had people in all parts of the world. And you know, America did what America does and does best. We take care of our own. And so the message I want to leave you as you go into this this wonderful Memorial Day, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, but take care of those around you. We can beat this thing, but we can beat it with the same attitude that we began it with. We are a can-do state, and we will make it happen. God bless Wyoming, and God bless you all. God bless the United States of America. Thank you.